Welcome to the debut episode of the 10,000 Hertz podcast, powered by Anchor. Today's episode is with Mr. Richie Bugatti, who is a nationally recognized recording artist who has toured around the world. Today we discuss the industry, getting input on touring, mixing and mastering, and much more. Stay tuned for the episode, and I hope you all enjoy. Let's get into it. The first thing I wanted to talk to you about was the accessibility nowadays when it comes to uploading music to different platforms like Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and the list goes on, Pandora, and things like that. Because before you had to go through like a record label and you had to go through a bunch of like secondary branches. Now it's easy. Now you can just do everything yourself. You can be basically your own record label.
Yes. Now it's a lot easier to get your music out there. Before you had to go through a record label or else sell your music while you're doing gigs and have your CDs made or cassettes made. And that's the only way you could distribute it back then if you were independent from a record label. And also, the other way to do it was sell it out of your back of your car, you know, your trunk, all your cassettes and all that, and your CDs.
Yeah, selling music out of the back of a van.
Yeah, or at your gigs, you would take your copies of your music with you.
Yeah.
On cassette or on CD. And then you also could record it on a boombox, you know, a cassette recorder. Right. You're playing live and stuff.
Right.
And back then you had to record it on, they had 4-track recorders on tape. You could record on tape. Yamaha made it, Tascam, a lot of companies made little 4-track recorders, which were pretty good because they're portable. And you could connect all the classic mics like Shure. Shure mics were mostly used than any other mics. And
go ahead.
That's how you did it back then.
Right, and just record it onto a boombox or a cassette or something like that. Speaking of that, though, funnily enough, that's how like I started out making music. Like when I first started making music and taking it seriously, and I actually had a computer with a CD burner at the time, and I would just burn CDs. And give them out for $5-$10.
Yeah, that's how it's done. I still do that. Sometimes I give them out free to people who want to listen, say on my first album. But the thing is, and that's how you copyright stuff. The way you used to copyright your music was send yourself a cassette of your music or a CD to your same address without opening the seal. So you could tell that you recorded it. You were the first one to record it at that time.
Right.
Made the music. Then also you had to go through different copyright companies to register your music like that. But sometimes they charge you. Then when you're signed to a record label, they take care of all that stuff for you, distribution, everything. But then it's like a job. You have to write a certain amount of music and create albums so it could be distributed at the time that their deadline is. So it's not that much free. And you had to do a lot of touring, local touring. And local touring is and it still is the same as before. You get in the cheap van or cars with your band.
Right.
And you just travel different places, venues that they set up for you, that your road manager set up for you. And sometimes the cars, they say if they break down or something, you had to live in your car for a couple of days with your band equipment. So it was kind of tough. It's tougher living like that than being homeless, because you're kind of are homeless for a while. Like if you're on tour for 3 years or 4 years.
Right. And
And they,
this stuff.
so it's, yeah, it's kind of tough doing live gigs.
Right.
That's why
And
I prefer recording studio now, being burned out on all that.
right.
My brother, he still does that. My brothers do that, still tour and all that. They love that stuff, but I don't. I got burned out on it a while back. I love studio session work. That's what I mainly do now.
Yeah, I
'Cause you
can.
just go to the studio, you record with the artist, and or it's your own songs, and it's more of a controlled environment.
Right. I can relate. It's a little bit less chaotic than,
Oh yeah.
touring. Actually, it's a lot less chaotic than going on a van and or being in a van and touring around the world, having to you had to pay for gas and for all different sorts of things. And from what I've heard about record labels, because I did some research into it right before I, got started with the music. What I've heard about record labels is, like you said, you have to make a certain you have to make a certain amount of music, but you also have to like have it done within a certain amount of time, or the record label will drop you.
Yeah, that's correct. But the money you make off the record labels and your music, it's pretty good. It's
Right.
really good. More than you'll make off a regular job,
Right.
because a record label pays you money up front. It's a lot of money. Could be from 50 grand to several hundred thousand for the year just to make your music, plus what you make in royalties. They take their cut too. Record labels also take their cut, like 50% of what you make. And then the road manager takes 15%, if you're lucky, from the gigs you do. But the money that's made, that you make more out of, is touring. That's where you make the most money.
Right, and
And it could
talking.
be fun too, because you travel everywhere and you see a lot of people and stuff, but it's pretty crazy in the saying the life that musicians have, the legendary life that musicians have,
Right.
about drinking, then you have drugs and women and all this. But if
And.
you and there's also Christian bands, like my brothers are in Christian bands. It's a different story. You don't have all that.
Yeah, but
And it's just more like getting the word out there for God. And I don't have a Christian band, but when I did gigs, I just stayed away from all that stuff, because then you're playing lax and it slows down your beats and all this. But if you keep on track, your morals and everything, you can have a lot of fun seeing the country and other countries and just playing your music. It could be fun, but it gets burned out sometimes.
yeah, it's
But yeah, that you're correct on that,
it's
on
so
record labels.
right. Thank you for that. It's sort of like that now, though, like, because you were talking about the record labels that take their cut of the profit, be it 50% of what you make, or 30, 40, something like that. But even the
Correct.
dish. Even the distribution services now, which aren't record labels, they take their portion of the profit. Like, I use DistroKid, and I think they're the only distribution service that doesn't take a portion of the profit.
Oh yeah, they're pretty good.
Cause I
But you're
re
right, the rest of them, some profit from you, like 10 to 15%. Even
Right.
20 sometimes.
Right. And it's crazy because, like, I look at all these artists, like, they think that making money as a producer or Like artists, they think it's easy, but it's the total opposite of easy, you know? Like,
Yeah,
it's
I
not,
agree.
like, it's not for everyone, for sure. But yeah, distribution services now, they take a portion of profit, and, like I said, DistroKid isn't, doesn't take a portion of profit. They do ask you for like tax information because they have to be compliant with the tax laws and that sort of thing. But they, as far as I know, they don't take a portion of royalties or profits.
Yeah, that one's a good company to do that with. But bad thing like about distributing your music online is that it's happened to me and several artists I know that you put your album out there and there's say like there's hacks, music hackers in Europe, mostly Russia, as they download your music. And then what they do is they sell it themselves and they promote it as you, giving them rights and authority to sell it. And they make 100% of the profits and don't give you any. And
Right.
that happened to me on the first album. And I don't mind that. I did mind it at first, but it's a good promotional. If you see it positively, it's a good promotion for you to be known and to get yourself out there. But that's why, like say in your other music and your other albums, it's good to just pick a specific distributor yourself, say, and not go through someone like CD Baby and companies like that that distribute it everywhere.
Right.
And but it's good to do that, say, like on a few songs you want to promote it. And it would lead everybody to you. It goes worldwide. But it's good to pick to certain companies. I only use Apple Music and Bandcamp. That's all I use. I don't use Spotify or any other company because that way I'm in control of what goes on. And it's easier to keep track of what your profits are.
I use like my I use DistroKid for distribution, but my music is on Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, and I have a Pandora station as well, and some of my music is on TikTok as well, like
Oh, that's pretty cool.
to be used on TikTok. But that's another thing I wanted to talk to you about, leading into that, is promotion. Like I put a post on my Instagram this morning about the song releasing today, and this random Instagram account is like, DM me or like DM me to get like promotion, and I messaged back. I said I don't need promotion, and if I do, I need. I mean, I do. But if I decide that I'm going to promote something, I'll do it myself.
Yeah, promotion, that's pretty tough because yourself out there, it's all really who you know. Like luckily I know some people that say like famous YouTubers or famous Instagrammers and also people in the music business that I've worked with that if you bring out your music or an album, they'll promote it for you because they're fans of yours, and that brings in more revenue for you or more promotion for you and your music. And also, like, because I used to do promote it myself, but I didn't get that. I only had like a few thousand to 10,000, say in sales. But like, my ex-girlfriend, she's a famous YouTuber and DJ. And she loved my first album a lot. and my demo of my second album. So she played it at her gigs and all that and put it on YouTube, some of her videos. And man, it's night and day. Like on my YouTube, I only have like 20 or 30,000 plays, but on hers, I have like about 500,000 plays on the same video.
And that leads
so it's
me.
It's a big difference.
Right.
That's a big difference. It depends who you know and about promotion, really. Because if you do it yourself, like I used to, it's kind of tough, but it gets the word out there to get the people who help you promote or who want to promote your music, who have access to their fans or a massive amount of people. It does, it's easier that way, but then it puts a pressure on you to, you know, you feel, is my next record good enough because of your new fan base of people you had.
Right.
Say like I have like some people who I never thought would be fans of mine, that artists that I admire that are waiting for my next record and stuff. And then you start thinking that should I let's say like tailor the music so they would like it, or just what I want to do. And that's why I asked like my brother, because he has a lot more experience in touring and records and all that. He's a pretty major punk rock artist, so with three labels he signed to, he does very well.
That's
he's been on a lot of magazine covers and stuff, so he helps me out like in the sense of promotion, and just by him saying I'm working on his next album, which I'm producing and master mixing, just that alone got me noticed again big time. And then also like when you and he's the one who advised me that don't worry about what people you admire, they become your fans, musicians you admire, just they became your fans because you do your music like you, whatever you want to do it, not tailored to them. That's why they're your fans. So
right.
Just keep making your music how you want to do it, how you want to do it, not pleasing anybody.
And that's,
and
I
that's
read,
also a good thing.
Right, and I read something similar to that, and it was someone talking about like promotion and taking advantage of social media, et cetera, et cetera. And she said that people will eventually come around. People will eventually become fans of you as long as you keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, she said that people will become fans of you as long as you just keep doing what you're doing and, don't stop and, tailor the music to them.
That's right. Just keep doing what you do. Don't tailor for those people.
Right. And that brings...
Don't try to please them. Oh, and then one thing too, record labels, when you on a record label, that's the one thing you have to do. You gotta, they send them producers and stuff like that, and they like mess up your music so it could be like more listenable to so they could sell their your albums more. And they make the music like more pop, which I don't like. Not a pop artist.
Me neither.
And that's the only bad thing about it. It depends who you sign with. That happens when you're with a label.
Right. And that brings me into another thing with the promotion. Because when you do like a collab or a feature, and that particular artist or producer or whoever it is, if that particular person has more followers than you, then that other person will shout you out, and you can pretty much piggyback off of the other people's followers, because it's just like spreading the
Yeah, that
word.
happens in TikTok a lot.
Right.
And yeah, you get a lot of followers because their followers want to hear who's that, what song did you use, what music you use,
Right.
and then they tag their friends and then they start using your music. And there's quite a few artists that are doing well because of that.
There's quite a few artists that, like you said, there's quite a few artists that are doing well because of that. But there's also quite a few artists that it had the opposite effect on.
That's true. It depends on who it is, who, what persons are using your music,
Right.
and how. Yeah, it could do the opposite. Could kill your career.
Right.
It
And
depends who it is. I agree with that.
right. And earlier you were talking about the fact that you prefer like the studio session environment and not going out on tours and stuff. There's a lot of people, and I see lots of ads on Instagram for like mixing and mastering, because Instagram tracks your web activity. It uses cookies to track your web activity and tailor ads to your personality, is what it says. And I see a lot of ads for mixing and mastering, but I've only paid for mixing and mastering one time. And I ended up actually not using the quote unquote mastered files because they sounded worse.
Yeah, it depends who's doing it, because the people who advertise are mostly like cranking out songs, mix and mastering. They don't really take their time to actually care about your song. It's like mass producing something, and that takes away the feel and the soul that the artist wants to have in their music. They don't. All they want to do is make money.
Right, and I know we haven't known each other for that long, but I could tell, like, listening to your albums that you have out, and I'm sure listening to mine, you can tell that there's a lot of time and effort that goes into each and every song and each and every sound. I don't know if that's
Exactly.
noticeable, but that's the reason why I don't pay for mixing and mastering anymore, because the thing is that most people that say they're engineers aren't really engineers or don't have that much experience, or the fact that mixing and mastering are so subjective, and like people on Instagram say that they have like a three-step method for music to get professionally mastered all the time.
Yeah. Usually, it's just like talent. There's different levels of talent in mixing engineers and mastering engineers. It's just like musicians. You have different levels of talent on that. There's really gifted mixing engineers and mastering engineers, but those are the engineers that don't crank out songs like that. They're actually working with big time production stuff and don't need to do that.
Right,
So it's pretty different. And then also, like, I do the same thing. I don't send out my music to be mixed or mastered, only if it's a particular engineer that I like who has worked with other artists, say big time artists, then I will let them mix my music and master it.
right.
And mixing and mastering, because of that, I studied that, took lessons in that a while back
Right.
when I was a kid. So I've always liked doing that because you have more control. Playing See, the thing is with us who do electronic music is different than a four piece guitar, bass, drums, keyboard, singing band, four or five piece band.
Yeah.
And it's so different because we have more control of our music than they do
I
in the
agree.
mixing and mastering.
And it's funny that you mentioned that because I don't know if you've listened to like every single one of my albums or songs, but
Yeah, I've listened to a lot of them.
I have a couple of songs. There's one from Just Cause, which was actually the first recording session we had. And then there's a couple on Metamorphosis where I had a friend of mine record live bass. So it's funny that you mentioned that because now, like, live instruments and like a combination of live instruments and electronic instruments has become really popular in like the past 2 or 3 years or so. So it's funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah, and in some of my music, I play a lot of my instruments, but then I also add like synthesizers.
And in turn.
And I play all the instruments myself, but I do bring a guest person in
Right.
sometimes,
And in terms of.
musician that
Go ahead.
No, it's like a musician I admire wants to be in my album, then I let them play. Like in one of my first album, the lead guitarist on the last two tracks, Light in Your Eyes and Ascending Rain, he plays lead guitar on it. He's one of my favorite guitar players of all time. And he's my guest on there. And dang, man, it was an honor just to have him play. But to have him want to play on my music was like mind blowing. And then we recorded it and everything, and the final result was better than expected. And
Right.
it's just amazing having other artists come in and work with your music. And plus, when they request it, is like no feeling like that. It's pretty amazing.
Right. And I have a friend that the guy that actually did like the bass for those few tracks of mine.
Oh yeah, I remember.
I sent him a track that I did like on my own recently, and it's actually on the EP I released August 9th. But I sent him that track and he listened to it and he goes, listening to this stuff compared to your earlier like musical works is mind-blowing. Just how much it develops over time and how much it evolves.
Oh yeah, your music has to evolve. Like, have more control of your music on your own when you mix it and engineer it. You could actually pan whatever you want, left or right or in the center, and have a certain effect of the instrument that you want to the feel of it and the soul of it. You have more control of it than
Right.
sending it to someone who doesn't really get what you want. And then
Right.
also, like, if you have a live recording on it, you could mix it in really nice on the on your electronic with synthesizers and equipment on there, modulators and oscillators, and work that bass or the guitar or drums or whatever you want on it
Right.
to have a certain feel and what you want to bring out there for people
Right.
to listen to.
And we've been talking about mixing and mastering, and at this point, and you do it yourself, and at this point in time, I also mix and master myself, and I will admit, like, I have had a little bit of training. I had a mentor. He's a like a YouTube mentor, so he's mentored a lot of people. But he was also mine. I was lucky enough to take advantage of his one of his sales that he was doing like the full length music production course for like 90% off or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was sort of my mentor, and I learned quite a bit about mixing and, getting levels right and that sort of thing. So at this point in time, I prefer, now if it's like super bad and I can't figure out why, I'll send it off to someone else. But at this point in time,
Yeah.
I prefer to mix and master myself.
Yeah, that's yeah, when it gets kind of tricky, it's good to have someone else on there. Like I have friends who helped me out on certain things when I was starting out mixing and mastering on certain things that I couldn't get, like a sound I couldn't get right, or it's too much peaking, or I recorded it too much clipping and stuff like that, what they use to bring that down and
Right.
fix that, fix the clipping or distortion on a certain instrument. So it's pretty good having mentors around. Yeah, I went
Yeah.
to school and all that for a lot of things in music, just to learn from like badasses, musicians and engineers, and then try to apply that to my music and all that, and then to other people's music. I had a lot of artists also request me to record them, then master their albums, and then I'll actually produce and then co-produce and help them write music and just all over the place, play live with them or just go on world tours with them on playing keyboards or lead guitar or singing and writing. And it's overwhelming what you could do, but if you're passionate about music, it's sort of like eating your favorite food all the time, which is pretty amazing, doing all that. And then as the years go by, you don't realize that you accumulate all this experience, but it shows, like you said, in your music, all the experience you have. And then all the, say, like the new, the how you've grown in music too.
Right, 'cause like I've said before, we haven't known each other for that long, but if you go all the way back to Invincible and then go to my most recent song, it's like a total. It, unless someone told you that it's the same artist and you had no idea to look, you would think it's a totally different person.
That's right.
And it's
It's
crazy.
because your growth in music.
Right. And we were talking about, your album that you're working on, Sound Bath, I think is what it was called, if I
Yeah,
recall
I'm working on
correctly.
three albums. One is like Sound Baths. That's called my album Ning Ning. I named it after my rat. Is Chinese for peace, peace, Ning Ning. And then I have another album called Sadu. It's after my dog, one of my dogs. And then that one is more of electronic experimental album. And the other album I'm working on is called Plastic Flamingos. That's a rock alternative album, singer songwriting stuff. They all have, like, that one's gonna have 12 tracks on it. Sadhu is going to have like five or six tracks. Ning Ning is an EP of maybe four tracks. Each track's going to be like 15 to 20 minutes long on that one. It's for meditating and peaceful stuff.
Right.
And then, so that's what I've been working on lately, besides other with other artists and their thing. So it's pretty time consuming. I don't even know the day that I'm. What day it is sometimes.
I have an album that I released on July 4th. I think I sent it to you.
Yeah,
It's
I remember.
more of a electronic experimental album. Is called Project Alpha, and it has 14 tracks, And each
Yeah.
track is about like some tracks are like 3 to 4 minutes, and then a couple of them are like 6 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I don't like having like a limit, like you say in my songs, or they're too extended. To some people, they listen to it as too extended, but I just tell them it's not pop music, you know.
Yeah.
Sit
And
back and listen to, and then also that also like opens up more doors for you when you have it on a longer track, have a longer track than a standard 3 minute track or 4 minute track.
Right. And
Because
I mean, I've
yeah, a
had
lot of DJs use it, a lot of stuff.
right. And I've had a lot of people say like when I first started making music and like uploading it to platforms, whether it be YouTube or something like that, my songs were like 7 minutes. But then people were pressuring me, like, you should make your song shorter, why are they so long, blah, blah, blah. But now I've kind of broken out of that box again, and that's another thing about music is that you can't really rely on what other people think. You just have to do what you think is best.
Exactly.
And
Exactly. It's like painting a painting. You don't ask people, hey, should I use this color or that? You just lock yourself in a studio or something and you do what you want with the painting. That's what makes it you.
right.
Just like in music, it's like I call it painting sound, you know.
Right,
So
right.
it's a lot
Sound,
like that's what it
sonic
is.
painting.
Sonic painting.
That's your next album, sonic
Yeah,
painting.
thanks, man. Sonic painting.
Sonic painting.
That's a good one.
I try. People.
Yeah, like on the first album I did, I have different types of genres, different types of experimenting on electronic from me just playing piano
Right.
all the way till using a lot of synthesizers and modulators and
Right.
me playing drums on some and then me using sample drums on others and me using a drum machine. And it's just to show the different genres of that or the different styles of editing sound and then mixing it and panning it different. Just because that album was meant to be for film score. I want that as my say so agencies could see what I can do, film score agencies to write music for a major movie, because I'm done doing the indie film stuff and the different stuff like that. I want like to do a really major movie. That's why I did that on the first album. But on the other albums, I'm just gonna stick to like all experimental electronic music, like on Sadu, without
Right.
any acoustic piano, say solos. Not solos, but just the piano and myself on there. And on Ning Ning, it'll be more like, sound baths and stuff. And on the rock one would be, alternative rock will be just that. But the first one out, it was mixed. It's called March of Aurora.
Right.
It was just mixed by different types of things I can do, just to show agencies for that. But I never thought it would do kind of decent out to the public,
Right, and then
because it wasn't made for regular, just it wasn't made for just listening to
right.
by my followers or my fans. It was just meant for agencies. But I'm glad it did okay and it's still doing okay.
And then when my grandpa first introduced me to you, that's the first, like I talked to you a little bit, like showed you the music, blah, blah, blah. And then that's the first thing I did was look you up on Apple, and that's the first thing I listened to of yours was March of Aurora, and I enjoyed it.
Thanks for doing that.
And
Thank
so,
you for the compliment. I enjoy your music too. It's pretty badass too.
I'm glad.
You have a talent for it. You got to keep doing your music no matter what.
I
I
tried
quit
to.
for a while. You know, you should, because I quit for a while. Like a record label I was signed to, all they wanted me to do is produce, and they forgot about my. They didn't forget, but they delayed my album and me working on my music. So all I did was produce, and I didn't like that, so I just quit. And let me get a drink of water here. My throat is dry. There we go. I could talk like this. And so what happened was that I quit, and then I just went independent for a while. Then I quit music for a long time, many years. And I stuck to engineering and restoring, cars and no, I stuck to computer technology because that's what I did in studios, was also set up a studio with mixing boards and the computer and all that. So I quit on the music for a long time, and I wish I didn't. I wish I would have stuck to it during all that time, no matter what. That's why I tell you, don't quit it no matter what. And my ex-girlfriend wanted me to quit because all the groupies. So I did that, even though I'm faithful to my girlfriend, but women are, if it bugged her, it bugged some women. So I did quit the music industry because of several things. But now I wish I, and now she tells me I should have just gone more big time in music and forget what she said. Because now I'm struggling artists, like a lot of artists, and I wouldn't have been if I would have just stuck to it more. And
I'm
so,
coming up on a point now where where school is starting for like college is starting for me on Monday, and I'm getting to the point now I'm trying to put sort of put the music aside for a while and focus on school, but I'm not gonna stop making music probably ever.
You could do both.
Right. And
You could do both. And
go ahead.
no, you could do both because during hard times, and it's tough to find like tech jobs and all that. And then I had a accident where I couldn't work and all that for a long time, and still can't. And regular work would not hire me and stuff because of the disabilities that I have now. But you know what? When I went back to the music industry, I got welcomed with open arms. And it's been pretty good for me. It's been better than working a regular job because you have a lot more freedom. And so that's why I wish I would have just stuck to it or just kept it on the side all the time.
That's the thing about music is that there's a overall sense of freedom that you feel like you finish a song and it's like it feels good. Like you can like I'm sure you can relate to this, but I like I said, I mix and master myself, and like when I'm working on a song, mixing it, mastering it, I get so tired of hearing it over and over trying to get it right. But
Yeah, we
then
were talking about that a little bit ago. Yeah.
right. But then when it finally releases, then when it finally releases, I can, sort of sit back and savor it a little bit. And I'm actually working on an album right now. I think I told you about it before, but I'm actually working on an album. Yeah, it's conceptual, so it's gonna be like one song flows into another song.
Yeah,
But
that's cool.
it's probably not gonna be like until like the end of the year or the beginning of next year. But
That's
yeah,
pretty cool.
you have to maintain faith in your music pretty much, because Like I said, I get so tired of, I'm sure you can relate. I get so tired of hearing, things that I'm working on when I'm trying to get it perfect. But it always feels so good when you have a song that goes live and
Yeah,
like.
well, it's your creation. It's your baby out to the world, man. You send it out to the world, see what happens.
Right. And even if
It's
it
part of creating.
were to
It's
get
nice.
like rejected, I would still like appreciate the fact that like I put all this work into this song or this instrumental, and I'm going to enjoy it no matter what.
Yeah, and fuck what everyone else says, and it's your creation. You do it for to let whatever is in your head manifest into reality, and that's the way you do it because of that creativity. You have to do that, and you just put it out there because that's what the process is. So, yeah, fuck if everybody likes it or not. If they do love the music, that's big compliment, but if they don't, forget it, man. Who cares?
Like even when family, like I went to dinner with some family a couple months ago back when I released Project Alpha, and I had a family friend of mine. She I came up to her because I was sitting down at the table, because we were getting ready to eat, and I was sitting down at the table, and she goes, "I love the new album." I'm like, "Oh, thank you." There's just something about that feeling that makes you. Like feel like the king of the world, like when someone compliments your music or, 'cause you put a lot of work into it, and when other
Yeah, it
people.
feels pretty good. The compliments feel good, especially from people that you admire and stuff. It's like
And you know,
shocking.
funny story about this song that I just released today, technically. I sent you the WAV file to listen to, if you remember. But it came out today, and it's the funniest thing because the friend of mine, the artist that's with me, the guy that did the vocals,
Yeah.
this is his first song, like ever. And he was like,
Oh, the one
"What?"
you say on the phone?
Yeah, this is his first song.
Text me. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
dope, man. It's dope.
And this is my first song with vocals. And we were texting back and forth last night. And he was all like, "Man, this feels so good. This is the most rewarding feeling." And he texted me, he said, it's an unexplainable feeling when you release something or you do something for the first time in it. You enjoy it.
Yeah, it feels like you're in the desert on blazing hot day, and then you see a pool and you of cool water and you jump in it.
That's an amazing
That's what it
analogy.
feels like, refreshing and satisfying and amazing.
Right. And I will always have that feeling, like no matter how many albums I release,
Yeah.
I'll be happy when that said album comes out, no matter how many I release.
Like proud of yourself of
Right.
the journey you took to get it to finish it. It's not easy sometimes, but sometimes it takes like 5 minutes, but sometimes it takes months and years, man.
Right. And I wanted to
So,
talk. Oh, go ahead.
oh, go ahead. I'm done with that one.
I wanted to talk about a couple artists of mine that sort of caught my radar. You've heard of Billie Eilish, right? I know she's not your style, but you probably heard of her, right?
Yeah, I heard of them.
Right, and her and her brother Phineas, they like she's not much older than me. And they like when they released their album called When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? That blew up in like 2 months or less. And then I look at like some of other artists, myself included, that still don't have the numbers that they need or would like to have, but you just have to keep fighting for it, and eventually you'll
Yeah,
get
it's
it.
good to get popular. It helps a lot.
Right.
Because it seems sometimes that's what deep down you want as a recording artist is to become popular.
But
Even though you don't do it for that, but it's good if you do. It's a comp like a compliment.
right, but popularity can also become a bad thing. Like if you have too much popularity, then things start to get out of control.
Yes, it does. If you become too popular, what happens is that a lot of time gets taken away from your creativity because you got a lot of places to go, like your management. They send you to like meet people and to do meet and greets and then to talk shows, radio shows. I know this because my brothers, right? And a little bit myself, and you become a prima donna without you knowing it. A diva. And then your ego grows without you realizing it. So it's good to know people that have been through it because they at least you realize what could happen. And you keep your ego in check somewhat, right? But it's
Right.
good to have a little bit of an ego, but not too much.
Not
Yeah,
too.
you could become a prima donna because of
Not too
that.
much.
And then you don't work as much in your music. That got you
Right.
there.
Right. So you don't want to have too much of an ego, but you want to have just enough of an ego to make it through.
The perks of fame. It can be bad too.
Yeah, and I'm lucky that, I mean, because I'm lucky that, my grandpa knew you, and like now I, building a relationship with you, because it's good
Yeah,
to have,
that's cool.
because every time my grandpa and I talk about you, I'm like, yeah, I just got off a phone call with Richie, whatever.
Oh,
He
yeah.
always says something like, well, it's good to have a. You know he's nationally recognized. I'm like, yeah, now he's nationally.
I was. Now I'm just a struggling artist because my accident took me out of the music scene for a while.
Yeah.
So, but it's good though, because I didn't listen to my album for a long time and my work. And when I listen to it, I go, "Damn, I did that." You don't even know how you did that to make it sound that cool or badass. And you go, damn, man, that's a lot of work in there to make it sound like that. And yeah, but now I've been doing like live gigs here where I live, around here where I live, for like 2 years, 3 to 5 hour live gigs with synthesizer, piano, and I have like guest artists.
Right.
And then I'm vocalizing a little bit, and I didn't want to do that. I don't like gigging live too much, but it got really good response and everything, and that's my album Ning Ning. It's a live recording of that. But the bad thing is I didn't plan on it. I recorded it on my phone. So I'm gonna see what I'm gonna do with that. It's not stereo on the phone, but I've
Right.
been working with that, and I'll probably add just some back I record in the studio of the same thing. And but it was a good experience playing live like that. Hours of that.
Did you just record it on like the notes or like the audio message or something?
No, it's just improvisation. I
Right.
just went in there. Well, before I went to the gig, what I did was like I tried out sound good on my piano and synthesizer, and I was going to use four synthesizers and a piano, but then I said, you know what? I'm just going to use my my Roland synthesizer and my piano, and I'll keep it to that. And I had sound reprogrammed back then, and the sounds that come with it, factory sounds, I just
Right.
picked which ones were going put down on a list. And then from that, I did improvisation for like, an hour or two. Not bad. The yoga people came in and they were just meditating to what I did. So I played it at an art gallery for artists with some paintings there and some other places, but mostly yoga people were following me. That's why they go, "Oh, that's sound baths. It's pretty amazing." And I go, "Okay, that's pretty cool." And this part of me to just keep in that type of sound that I wanted on that.
Right.
Because I try to be more innovative in my music, not follow what someone else did a while ago or something. I try to improvise on new type of putting music forward.
Right, and that's another thing my mentor said was that you don't want to like mold. He compared it to like Play-Doh, like putting Play-Doh into a mold. You don't want to put yourself into a mold of what everyone else is doing. You want to be free of that mold.
Exactly. That's why, like, exactly. That's why you do your own, that's why you grow in music and all that. So you want to do your own style. And like you said, different albums will sound different. It depends on how you're growing or what you want to say. Like, what I'm trying to think of something that, what's that comes to mind, like what you're trying to express, right, in your new album?
Right.
It's different than the rest.
And each album has a different expression of your personality.
Yeah, of what you experienced in life during the end of it. But that
Well,
was that's how that inspiration came. It depends on what you're experiencing. Just like writing a song. If you're breaking up with someone, you write about the breakup, or if you're traveling somewhere having adventures, you do that, or if you meet someone interesting, you write about them, or
if you love
some,
someone.
it depends what you're experiencing. Or if you love someone, a love song about that. And
Right.
so it depends. So, but when you write instrumentals and all that, with no words, it to me, that's because words are limited to what I want to express and a feeling. So that's why I write more instrumentals, because there's no limit to the feeling that you're going through, the experience when it's an instrumental. And that's why it's more to that.
I totally agree with that because I like to call like instrumentalists are what I like to call open to interpretation. So like you can interpret, the audience can interpret it however they want to interpret it, and not have to rely on the words for interpretation.
That's right. They could, and then that's that type of thing of expression led me to film scoring music, because what you do is like you interpret what's going on in the scene. You bring it more feeling into it of what's going on, but also you gotta, the thing about that hinders you and stuff is learning to work with the director and the editor on what you want to express, and they give you a certain time limit, like 5 minutes, 5 seconds on a certain type of feel, a scene, what they want in the movie. See,
Right.
and that's challenging. Also in expressing your own type of sounds and stuff in the film.
Right, and music is all about expression.
That's right. And
Well,
but when you don't have a limit, when you do your own album independently, there's
well
nothing that hinders you, only Only your equipment or yourself at the time.
Right.
Depends, you know?
If your equipment has issues, you can't, make anything. But before we wrap it up, I just want to ask you, like, what advice, like, I'm an up-and-coming artist, but me not included. Like, if someone came up to you and asked you, like, what, like, hey, I want to become an artist, what advice would you give to them?
They want to be an artist, like a recording artist. It depends on if they have talent or not. Because some talent, you can't, even though you study a lot and try to create that talent, it's not the same as being born
Right.
gifted with that talent. So if they are gifted in that talent, I would just say, like if I would tell myself back in the day, if I go back to the future, I would just say to them what I've experienced is just keep doing your music no matter what, whether it's good or bad or anything, as long as you bring that expression that's stuck in your soul out into a recording or a music to express yourself.
My thing is that there is no, like, if it's your music and you think it's good, it's good. Like you said, like, who cares what other people think? Like, you gotta just keep
Try it
pushing.
and fuck what everyone else says just to express yourself. Whether I
Exactly.
like it or not, or anyone else likes it or not, music that person makes, I would just tell them, just go for it, man.
That's one
Just do it.
thing. Is
Because you never
construct.
know what could happen. It's therapeutic, too.
Right. Like, I use it because, like, like when my dad passed away, that's when I really started taking music seriously, is after my dad passed away. And like you said, it can be soothing.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. Yeah, my dad also passed away. I wrote him I was working on a, he's the one who inspired me. Well, as a kid, he's the one who taught me how to play guitar and sing because he used to be in a trio. And then my mom was a poet and she taught me how to put lyrics, you know, poetry into music.
Yeah.
And but my dad was the only one who supported me in my music when I was kid, he said, always do it no matter what I say or anyone else says,
Right, and
and just keep going.
that was sort of the same thing for me, is because like only like one side of the family supports my music, and I just have to keep pushing. But yeah, on that note, thank you for being my first guest on the show, and it'll be out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts everywhere. So thank you for being here. I appreciate your time.
Well, I'm honored, Logan. I'm honored, and I thank you for letting me be your first guest. It's an honor for me.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you later, Logan.
All right.
It easy. Have a good
Okay.
night.
Have a good night.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Check, check, check.